noon.
Because it's usually sunny, right?
Absolutely.
And so now we got stuck with a weekend of rain, but no problem, because we don't melt in the rain up here, do we? No, we kind of like it. So if you're a guest with us, say, we've not yet. My name is Tom, and this is my brother from another
That mother. Works, yep.
Yeah, that works there, Mario. Yep. So I kind of, you know, it still confuses me, that brother from another mother thing.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We'll talk about it.
So really glad that you're here and part of the teaching today. Particularly, we talk about all things new. And it's our run-up to Easter, and you just heard a little bit about Easter. But aren't you thankful? And Revelation 21 says he creates all things new. He does, and he will. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the first book, Genesis. So just grab your Bibles. Scripture will be coming up on the screen in just a few moments. Just go to the first book that we're going to be in, around Genesis 37 and so on. Last week we talked about shattered dreams and how he takes and creates all things new out of our shattered dreams. And if you were here, we focused in on the life story of David. And we took a look at David's life and how he, in that moment, kind of took control. And so we followed his life, and then how he came right back to Jesus, and he wrote Psalm 34 after he experienced deliverance. And if you were here, we had this marionette puppet, and you know, marionette puppet has strings, right?
Right.
Yeah, to the legs and to the arms and so on. And how we sometimes do that in life. We take, during those times when life just kind of seems like it goes wrong, and then the best way I described it last week was when life just pukes on you.
You did say it that way, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I can't think of a better way to say it. So barf,
vomit,
puke or vomit or whatever. Yeah. I had someone come up to me and say, well, there is a better word, upchuck. So anyway, when life just kind of dumps on you, whatever word that you would describe it, what do we do in that moment? And sometimes in that moment, many times, our human nature is to step in and take control, right? And so we run a string right down to relationships, and because we're going to control relationships, right? We run a string to our careers, to our jobs, and because we're going to control that. And we talked about giving Jesus back the control. Mm-hmm. And so we cut a lot of strings last week. I know we did all day. We said, God, I give you back control over this in my life that I've taken control over. So here's what we learn. We get ourselves into all kinds of trouble when we assume God must think and feel as we do. We get ourselves in trouble when we say, God, this is how you must act. This is how you must feel. And when we put ourselves into that position, he no longer is God.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So we become God, and we find ourselves in all kinds of trouble. So we release control to him. And so today what we're going to do is introduce to you, or remember again, another Old Testament character named Joseph. We'll get to him in just a moment. And look at some things in Joseph's life that perhaps you've never, ever thought about. Or maybe you'll discover in a brand new way today, but we learned this incredible lesson from Joseph and how to deal with the ups and downs of life. Now, how many, and I think we will all raise our hands, will go, I've experienced ups and downs in life. Raise your hand, that's you.
Yes.
Okay, so that's like probably 100% of us. And we're at different levels right now today. So some of us are on an up. Some of us are down.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be talking about how do we approach life when it's filled with ups and downs. Here's what we find to be very, very important. Just remember this, that God is present in all of life. Say it with me. God is present in all of life. And so if you were emailing somebody and you wanted to shout at them, what would you do? Yeah, you put that in all caps. So let's put that in all caps today. Are you ready? In all of life, God is present in
all of life.
All caps, let's shout it out. In the ups and in the downs. Now, have you ever experienced what we'll call the whiplash feeling in life? See, the whiplash. In other words, things are going really, really well, and then all of a sudden, they're not.
Quickly.
Yeah. That whiplash. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got the job that you really wanted, but the boss is a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that wasn't making that personal.
Well, no, I was really glad I wasn't the one that had that illustration right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
it would go the other way around.
That worked out well.
Okay, so, You married the guy of your dreams. but he's a jerk. She's a jerk. You see, it's that whiplash. You're going along, it's up, it's down.
Yes.
It's the whiplash thing in all of life. But there's something, there's a question that we just kind of want to toss out your way that's really, really important during the ups and downs. Put your glasses back on.
I'm supposed to be reading this, I think, at this point. The question, that's the problem.
Yeah, it's a question, I think, that we consider ups and downs of life, but particularly in the downs.
And I think that really with that, it's kind of the question that we'll kind of keep coming back to over and over again. It really is the thing that weaves throughout. And it's this question of what would you do if you were absolutely confident that God was with you? How would that change the way you would approach the situations that you're in? I mean, Tom just talked about some different circumstances that we find ourselves in. But say your marriage is unraveling and you just want to hit that panic button. And what would change if you were confident that God was with you? And what would you do differently? I mean, you have your kids that you've been praying for, but yet they're just scattering, going all different directions. And there's something that we want to do, but what would we do if we were confident that God was with us? How would that change things? Suppose you go to the doctor and you're just going in for a regular checkup and then he tells you that you have cancer. What do we do in those moments? What would we do differently, potentially, if we were confident that God was with us? You see, I mean, we can put those in sort of what-if situations, but the reality is that's among us. Those are stories that are here in our presence right now. And yet, in the midst of it all, there is this calling, this question, what would happen if we were confident that God was with us? I mean, those types of whiplash moments, those things are coming our way all the time. How do we navigate those?
Yeah, exactly. And so last week I said, God, I love teaching this stuff,
yeah,
but I don't like living it. Mm-hmm. I mean, from human perspective, right, standpoint. So mm-hmm. Anyway, so I said last week that, look, we're all going to go out there and we're going to live out what we're talking about.
Yes.
And so anyway, I had this chance to live it out.
Once again, yeah.
Yeah, I did. And so here's what happened. I got to the office Tuesday morning early while some staff were still sleeping.
Know who that would be.
And I had taken the key off my ring because I carry it in my back pocket, leave my other keys over here and so on. And so I came up to the office door. I had my briefcase and I had like 3 bags of candy for the Easter hunt and I had my coffee. And so I set it all down and to get my office door key and it wasn't there. So I pick all this stuff back up. I go back to my car because I got to go home and get my key. And so I live, you know, near the church here, and so it wasn't a long trip. So I drive up my driveway in my car, and I open the door, and I jump out of the car, and I run in the house to get my office key. And so I grabbed it, and I came outside, and my car's gone. And I have that moment where I think, I'm sure I parked it back there. and then I ran to the driveway just about the time I heard it crash. And I look, it's going down the driveway, so it hit some rocks and so on. Went, turned up the road.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And started rolling forward towards the neighbor's garage. By that time I'm there, I jump in front of the car to hold it back.
Yes. Kind of Superman-ish.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was quite an incline, and I immediately think, you've got pictures of my car up there. Not yet. I see them right there. I'm going to show it to you what it looks like. And I jumped in front of the car to hold it back, mm-hmm. and like in a 1 second, I think, this is not going to work. Because it's coming forward, and I'm going to get crushed between the car and the garage.
Yeah, not a good way to go.
That's not a good way to go at all. And so I jumped out of the way, and my car hit the neighbor's garage. And so I brought some pictures to show you my car. So anyway, the door caught something on the way down, and it completely peeled it back. You can see it's an older car, and so completely peeled the door back, so I can't show. And there's the front. You can't quite see all the damage. That was hit the neighbor's garage right there. And with that, and so it's I can't drive it. I mean, like in the rain, it's in the garage because it's got a big old gap, you know. And so there I was, and so I call the police, cops. They were at that moment, and they come and report it and all that, And there I was. And you talk about life kind of puking on you.
Yeah.
And I was, well, for a moment, I was worried about my driving record because it's spotless.
They don't believe that.
Honestly, hardly ever anything. And mm-hmm. But I think it still is because I wasn't with the vehicle.
At the time, no.
When
nope.
So I
act
said,
of God, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, so I wasn't with it. And then we got friends that we went to dinner with, you know, the Clarks down here to go like, but we'll drive. You know, so don't worry about that. We'll drive and like. So that was Tuesday. That was Tuesday morning, and now I'm living out this thing about when life has its whiplash,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden it's not up, it's down. You see. Now there are a lot of things in that whole event to be thankful for. I know, but in that moment, right? Here's the deal. That's metal. And the garage that now has to be repaired is a bunch of wood and whatever. Mm-hmm. But what we're facing, a lot of us, is not metal. And it's not quite that fixable, or you can't quite dismiss it that easily. Mm-hmm. It's like the real life stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And it would be tragic if we were left in the spot of having to figure this out on our own. But we thank God that He actually shows us, gives us pictures to help us understand what it looks like to live right. in the midst of the whiplash. How to live that out, because it's not easy. And that's why we have the stories of people that we looked at. Last week we looked at David, and this week, if you want to, I invite you to turn in Scripture as we look at Genesis chapter 37. We look at the life of a man we've seen, maybe often if you're familiar with the Bible, maybe this story is new to you. It's this guy named Joseph. And Joseph, we find him as a young boy, and he is, well, he's a son of a guy named Jacob, and we read this. It says, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for his son, Joseph. He made him a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them, and they couldn't say a kind word. And so here we have this scene where there is young Joseph, and out of all the sons, he's the one that gets the coat. None of the other sons get it, and you can imagine what starts to stir within them. And as we continue to look at the story, if you were, what you find is that there is this long moment in which Joseph gets these stories from God about how Joseph was actually going to be sort of over his parents and over all of these brothers. Now, if you want one of those moments in a movie where the tension builds and it kind of goes dun-dun-dun, that's the moment. And so Joseph finds himself in a spot where he's going, I don't know, God's given me these dreams. One day I'll be over you, but I'm sorry Dad gave me a coat. What do I do about that? Well, the boys are off and they're working in the field and Joseph is at home. And there's a time where Joseph goes and checks up on them. And as he does, what we read is this. Well, Joseph, when he arrived, his brothers ripped off that beautiful robe that he was wearing. And they grabbed him and threw him into a cistern. Now, the cistern was empty, and there was no water in it. You have to imagine what it would be like to be Joseph. You talk about a whiplash
right,
moment.
Yeah.
The boy with the coat, the boy who's just going to hang out with his brothers, and all of a sudden he finds himself in a cistern. Fortunately, Scripture lets us know there's no water in it. Yeah, I thought that was a funny kind of moment, too. Thank you for that little side note. But as if that's supposed to make it better. I mean, here he is at the bottom of the cistern trying to figure out what happened. And if you found yourself in those places, those questions of God, why? Like, why me? Like, what did I do to deserve this? I was born, I was living, I was going to help my brothers, and now here I am with this whiplash moment that I'm in a cistern. And we've been there, haven't we? I mean, it's those nights where it seems like everybody else might be asleep in the house, and there you are awake at 3 o'clock in the morning going, why me? And God, I don't know that I did anything in this. Like, why is this happening to me? Have you ever had those moments? I know I've been there, where it just seems like everything is silent, but your voice, your body is going at 100 miles per hour with everything that is going on within you. It's in those moments, it's so easy for us when we find ourselves in those spots of trying to figure out why, God, what's happening, that we can almost feel like God has abandoned us.
Right.
And the reality is that that sense of abandonment, it may not be the thing that's truly going on. There might be something else.
You know, and in those moments we start going, God, why me? Why me? Why me? You know, why not him? You know, why me? And all of that stuff. But here's what we need to remember. God is most powerfully present when he seems most apparently absent. Just think about that. In those moments in your life, when you're at the bottom of the curve, God is most powerfully present even when he seems most apparently absent in your life. When, you know, our human minds just can't absorb all that's going on, Jesus is present in your life. Just listen to some other scripture. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. When you go through the deep waters, insert your life there. Yeah. I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, insert your life there. You won't drown. When you walk through the fire, insert your life there, the fire of oppression. You will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. When life whiplashes you, when you drive your car into the neighbor's garage, right? All of those things, and even worse, where a lot of us, some of us are even living right now. Look, God is most present, most present in those circumstances in our life. But it gets worse for Joseph, by the way. It gets worse. Genesis chapter 39, just go forward a couple chapters, and verses 1 and 2 there, because now he gets sold by his brothers into slavery. So he's in the pit that Mario just described, and it gets worse from here. He gets sold into slavery. Now remember, we're going to skip two chapters here, and if you were to read those two chapters, we'd do that in like just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But just remember, life is taking place here for Joseph in these two chapters here, right? So we read it in just a few minutes, but real life is happening. So chapter 39, verses 1 and 2, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was the captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now, highlight, underline, whatever to remember these next words. The Lord was with Joseph in everything he did as he served the home of his Egyptian master. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Think about it. The Lord was with Joseph in that pit, in that whiplash moment. The Lord was with Joseph when he was sold into slavery. You know, you just got to think when he was coming out of the pit, hey, gets better from here. It doesn't. He gets sold into slavery. The Lord is with Joseph during all of life. That can mess with your theology just a bit, can't it? Go back and backtrack and just kind of put a little tick mark in the events of Joseph's life, right? He's beat up by his brothers. They steal his coat. He gets into a pit. Now he's sold into slavery. Do you know why it messes with our theology? I'm going to tell you. Because we have bought in to a false theology of wealth, health, and prosperity. Yep. Now some of you are going to go, what? Because we've confused the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. His blessing in our life with health, wealth, and prosperity. And I'm so thankful, and that's a false doctrine. That's not even biblical. I am thankful for God's blessing in all of life. I am. But we falsely assume that the Lord is with us means we will never experience the whiplash moment.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it will always be focused this way. It will never be this way. And God desires that I be healthy and wealthy and prosperous and all of life. It will never be this at all. And we have bought into that. We think that we have this sort of agreement with God. That if I keep my end of the bargain, he keeps his end of the bargain, right? And if I just do this, God will do this. It's kind of more of a transactional type of relationship, right? Mm-hmm. I do, he does. I do, he does. Mm-hmm. And it's false. And that can bring great discouragement on us if we believe in that, if we're in that down moment, because God, you know, you promised, you abandoned. He promised he would never leave us.
Right.
He promised he would never forsake us. Mm-hmm. He promised he would be faithful to us in all of life, here or here. And there's just really important point that we just don't want you to miss.
Right. And kind of understanding that it's not, as Tom said, it's not as if life is always going this way. But becoming the person God wants you to become rarely comes from success. But life looks a whole more like success to failure, from success to heartbreak, from success to pain, from success to letdown. And it can be so difficult to live in Christian communities or places where we try to act as if everything is always successful in our lives when we recognize there are things that are just heartache, there's brokenness, there's moments that just feel like we're being torn in two. And if we think that that's what it means to live this Christian life is success, we'll miss it because it doesn't happen. It's not real. That's not what God promised. But as you said, He promised He would be with us in the midst of the heartache. He'd be with us in the midst of those hard moments. And we see this played out in the life of Joseph. In verse 3, it says that Potiphar noticed this, speaking of how Joseph continued to be so successful in what he had done, and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, there's the phrase, giving him success in everything he did. And this pleased Potiphar, that slave master. So soon he made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. So here's Joseph from this place of being in slavery, being thrown into a pit to be moved to slavery, which would feel like a down moment. All of a sudden, there's this wonderful moment again. Here he is in which he's finding success with this master Potiphar. But something I want you to notice about Joseph is that Joseph stays in the midst of that really hard moment. I mean, there's so many things Joseph could have done when things became difficult, but he stays. And what we see is that Potiphar promotes this guy. You know, Joseph could have ran away. I don't know about you, but I'd be thinking about if I was Joseph, there would be this thought like, wait, didn't we just have slaves at our house just a few weeks ago? And now here I am a slave. And what's up with that, God? It would be so much easier for him to just take off, run off, and hope that God will continue to be with him in the midst of that. You know, there's a scripture that Paul speaks about to the people of Ephesians 5:16, which says, to make the most of every opportunity. And we really like that verse when things are going well. But what about the moments that we experience, as Tom talked about, in the valley? To make the most when it seems like things aren't going okay. To make the most when we're in what feels like these moments of slavery. What does it mean to continue to make the most of that every opportunity? You see, I don't think that we can move in those places well until we're able to do some of the things that Joseph did, to see the way life the way that Joseph did. You see, Joseph recognized that he may have been stripped of his coat, but he wasn't stripped of his identity. He may have been rejected by and abandoned by his family, but he was never rejected and abandoned by God. And even though life is certainly not turning out the way that Joseph wanted it to, he chose to make a response. He chose to live in such a way to say, God, in all circumstances, I choose to recognize your presence here. In the midst of whatever's going on, I choose to recognize that you're there. And we often miss this important point in the midst of the struggle, don't we? And when everything's life starts to swirl around, it's easy to just move God away. But Joseph continued to say, God, what if you are in the midst of this as well?
Exactly. You know, that's such a strong point there, that Joseph was stripped of his coat, right? But not his identity. Mm-hmm. I mean, the enemy can come in and take away all the stuff. But can he strip away who we are? Everybody go like this.
Nope.
No. He can take away anything. He can take all that stuff, but he can't take away who we are.
Right.
Can't take away our identity. Here's what's important. Don't miss it. It's more about who you are becoming than where you're going. It's more about who you are becoming than where you are going. Now, it'd be really great in this story if everything started going uphill for Joseph now.
Right.
But it doesn't yet, because now he begins to face some other stuff. Slide to verse 6 and 9. Verses 6 and 9, chapter 39. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. That's great. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Such a life. Joseph was very handsome and a well-built young man. And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be such a sin, such a great sin against God. I mean, talk about a hero moment in Joseph's life. I mean, it's like when things seem to be going well, now he's got to face this temptation with Potiphar's wife. And she comes to him, begins to tempt him. In that moment, like, Joseph doesn't have a faith community like what we have right here,
right?
He doesn't have a small group to hold him accountable. It's like he's just determined he is going to honor God in all of his life, no matter where he is, ups and downs of life. Mm-hmm. His responsibility was simple, but not easy. I mean, insert your life. What would you do? What would you do? Let's be honest. It can feel hard sometimes as humans to remain faithful if we have this idea that God's not faithful to us. But what about the knowledge that he is faithful and he's always faithful to us? Every day we have this choice to make, each and every day. He's with us. He never forsakes us. He walks with us in all of life, no matter this or this. Verses 10 and 14, the pressure remained and it grew in his life. She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went in to do his work. She came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, "Come on, sleep with me." I mean, there it is all over again. Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. When she saw that she was holding his cloak and he had fled, she called out to her servants. Soon all the men came running. "Look," she said, "my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools out of us. He came into my room and raped me, but I screamed." And now he's facing false accusations. There you go. This is a good time just to kind of drop this in here as we head for home in a few minutes. There are times, I've taught it before, that we pray for Jesus to take us out of the place he's put us into. Be real easy for Joseph to say, "Get me out of here." But God placed him there. And the call is to live out faithfully before him. Some of us need to stop praying, "God, get me out." We need to be praying, "God, keep me in so that your name will be glorified and your name will be made famous."
Mm-hmm. I know that for me, I'm looking at Joseph's story and it just continues to intensify and goes deeper and harder and harder. And there's just this moment of going, is there a point where there's ever enough, God? I know that my prayers would be a whole lot like, "Get me out of here." That would be like what I'm thinking at this moment. And it would make sense for Joseph too. He's been framed. I mean, here he is, he's been framed for something that he hasn't done. He's done the right thing. He's gone the extra mile. He's the hero who has chosen to not sleep with Potiphar's wife, and yet he still ends up in jail. What's up with that? And we've been there before, haven't we? I mean, you were faithful to your husband, yet you still cheated. You tithed, but you still went bankrupt. You prayed for your kids, but they still strayed. You were loyal to your company for years, and then they let you go. And what do we do with those moments? You did everything you knew that you were supposed to do to honor God, and it didn't work out the way that you wanted it to. Didn't work out, which even seems to be a way that's good. And here's Joseph now moved from this place of being in prominence with Potiphar to being in prison. And what we read, because things get worse. In verse 20 and 21, it says, "So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held. And there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph." Do you hear that phrase? Yeah. "But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite in the prison warden." I want to go down to verse 22. It continues on. It says, "But before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison." The Lord was with Joseph. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, if this is what it means for the Lord to be with me, that I experience all of this, God, could you be with my brothers in the same way that you were with me? Because this is not happening. In fact, there's this whole sense of, I actually would rather be home and not have you be with me than be in prison, than experiencing what I'm experiencing. Here he is in this moment of going, God, this is so difficult. But yet we don't see Joseph run away. We don't see him start to rail at the prison guards. What we see him do is to choose to recognize God's presence with him. He trusted and looked for God in the midst of the difficult circumstances. You see, when we respond as if God is there, what we find is that God actually is there. God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And in the darkest times where it seems like he is absent, he is present. You see, every one of us make a very important decision, and this decision will have huge implications on how we end up living our life. We must decide if we're going to put our faith in what God does or choose to put our faith in who God is.
Exactly. So here it is. Put our faith in God's identity and not his activity. That's the choice we have to make. We must choose to put our faith in God's identity, who he is in our life, and not the activities of life. You see, the mistake that we make is that we wrap our faith around the activities of life. We wrap our faith around the things that we think should happen in our life. And when those things don't happen, our faith crumbles. We wrap our faith around this or that from our human understanding of life. And when those things don't happen, boom, things crumble. Our faith crumbles. We wrap our faith around the events of life. You run into the garage of the neighbor. Well, the vehicle did. And you wrap your faith around an event, and the police come, and all the lights are flashing. I'm thinking it's a garage. I have neighbors, 25 years. I don't need flashing lights. Mm-hmm. Or the fire truck. Or the aid car. Don't need all of that. See what happens? When events happen like that, we wrap our faith around those events. What happens when that happens? Our faith begins to crumble. But listen, our faith is not built upon the ups or the downs in life, right?
Right.
Either. It's based on who Jesus is. He's God. He's sovereign. He's over all. He's in all. And he's over all. He's in your life, and he's in mine. And we're going to lead you in prayer. But I know that there are many of us today, and some of us are on the upside. Things are going pretty well. Wait till tomorrow comes. God, I love to teach it. I just don't want to live it. It's true for all of us, by the way. But tomorrow will come. And because life has its ups and downs, however you want to describe it. But listen, in that moment, may your faith be strong because Jesus is with you. Yeah. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to lead you in prayer, and Mario is going to lead you in prayer. And here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to invite you today. I'm going to lead you in a prayer for the ups in life. Mario is going to lead you in prayer for the downs in life. Because I know how easy it is for all of us, because we're humans, to forget God during the uptime. It's so easy. Then, yeah. I mean, we read that throughout the Bible, don't we? We read that in Scripture. It's like, God, it's like, well, how did you forget God? Look what he just did. But you know something? We do too. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to lead us in prayer for those moments, that in those moments we'll be reminded that, look, this is all God. Our life is in his. And so, God, we give you praise today for the moment that we're in right now. And may you be honored and may you be glorified. And you'll join me when Mario leads us in prayer for those of you who are down here. Let's just put our faith and trust in him. Don't wrap our faith around those things. Amen. Father, we give you great thanks and great praise for your blessing in our life. We know they're not a result of who we are, our goodness, or what we have done. God, we put our trust and we put our faith in you. And I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I pray, Lord, that we will never forget who we are and who we belong to. And so in this moment, we just give you great praise for the ups in life and for all that you provide for us. In Jesus' name.
And Lord, we come into this place with the ups and also the downs. God, some of us in this place are just in hard, hard circumstances. And it has been so hard to see you in the midst of it all. And to be honest, Lord, there's some of us in this place that have been ready to throw in the towel, to call it done. But this morning, you are stirring in faith inside of our hearts. God, we're choosing to trust you in your word where you say that you are the lifter of our heads. And we open up ourselves, our hearts, our hands to you and say, God, we choose to trust you in the most difficult moments. We choose to be a people that are on the lookout for you. Even though it seems like circumstances around me are absolutely horrid.
Thank you, Jesus.
I choose this morning to let you lift my head. I choose this morning for you to fill me once again with hope and with faith, to be able to see you when it seems like you're hard to see, to be able to hear your voice when it has felt so hard to hear. Lord, I know that some of us this morning are in a spot where that's true for the totality of our lives. We have been living our lives in a down moment, separated from you, not able to hear your voice, and yet we hear the kindness of you, how you continue to be with us and never leave us and never forsake us. And God, this morning, as we hear that message of who you are, we give our hearts and our lives to you and pray that you would come and be our Lord, be our Savior, be my God, and cleanse me from the inside out, that I would be made new in you, that I would find life that I've never found, eternal life, as I put my faith and my trust and my hope in you. God, wherever you may lead, however you may lead, we choose to be a person who's on the lookout for you, confident of who you are, confident of what you've been up to, and to lean into you. In your name we pray. We give you great thanks. Amen.
I'd like to invite us here in the auditorium, and if you're watching online in your home, you're in a motel room, we've even had family say, we were listening while we were driving. You keep your hands on the wheel, if that's you. But let's all offer him some praise. Shall we do that today? Amen. We're going to continue next week, the same series, and again, as we go up to Easter. So I just invite you to join us and invite a friend along. I just believe that as we kind of dive in and talk about all things new, that he is making all things new each and every day in our lives. Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. So if you're here and you'd like to have special prayer, we're down front here. So please join us and let's get to know each other a little bit better. In the meantime, I just pray that you have a great week, regardless of any whiplash moments that you have. Amen?
Amen.
See you next Sunday.
Blessings.